Thank you for your choice to be here this evening. Your presence is a blessing. Let us join together in prayer. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father and Mother, giver of this and every moment, attend to us this evening in the silence and through word and sacrament. Feed us with your spirit and wisdom. Awaken us more deeply and fully to your loving presence, and send us forth into the world with its care in our hearts. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, Abba Transcendent, Omnipresent Word, Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Staying in that place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. The first reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. During the time young Samuel was minister to the Lord under Eli, a revelation of the Lord was uncommon and vision infrequent. One day Eli was asleep in his usual place. His eyes had lately grown so weak that he could not see. The lamp of God was not yet extinguished, and Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time Samuel was not familiar with the Lord, because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as of yet. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. Thus all Israel from Dan to Beersheba came to know that Samuel was an accredited prophet of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 40. Our response is, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry. Blessed the man who makes the Lord his trust, who turns not to idolatry or to those who stray after falsehood. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Sacrifice or oblation you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, "Behold, I come." Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me, To do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. I announce your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 1. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons through the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
The theme for this evening's lens of interpretation of these beautiful passages is similar to last week's, and that is the potential that all of us have in our lives, on our spiritual journeys, to develop our spiritual perception. The potential that each of us has to develop our spiritual perception. I think that's a very intriguing invitation for each of us, and we all recognize that we could probably have more capacity for spiritual perception in our lives. Last week's lesson, we saw how sight was the mode of spiritual perception. John the Baptist saw the anointing of Jesus, the anointing of the Spirit on Jesus, and everyone else didn't. And we talked about how he is a model through asceticism, representing the ascetical tradition, being out in the wilderness, that cultivates our capacity for spiritual sight. Well, tonight, a whole other sense is introduced to the capacity for spiritual perception, and that is our hearing, listening. And this is perhaps the secondary sense. I know if I were given a choice between losing my sight or losing my hearing, I would choose take my hearing and keep my sight. Well, this is important for us because of our relationships. And I can see no more clear way in which spiritual perception plays out than in our relationships. For example, recently I saw someone who I perceived with my eyes and intuited through that perception that that person wasn't doing 100% like they normally are. And perhaps you've had situations like that where you're on the phone with a friend or loved one and you hear in their voice that something is not normal, and that intuition moves, and you see something, you hear something, you sense something in your body, and we can all grow in our capacity to care and love for one another. And this is one of those practical ways we can do that. Now, tonight I want to focus on the first reading from Samuel, because it's so rich in its buffet of offering for us. And let's just start here with this statement that in the time when Samuel was young and he had been dedicated by his mother to serve the Lord, in that period of time, revelations of the Lord were uncommon and visions were infrequent. And it's symbolized by Eli, who's not only asleep physically, but his eyes have grown dim. So he's supposedly the priest, the one guarding over the temple of God, the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle. He's supposed to be the one guy in the whole nation of Israel who does see God and who is awake to God. But Eli has grown weary, he's asleep, and he cannot see clearly. It's a beautiful image of how the work describes the world. We're under the great swan song of sleep, and that's the deep problem. And it's so easy, even for spiritual leaders, to wake up for a moment and fall back to sleep. And so that's the season of the nation of Israel that we're in. The glory days have passed and faded, and now nothing is being revealed and visions are rare. And it's in that context that young Eli, notice that it comes to the younger one, not to the older one, but to the younger one, and Samuel is literally asleep or falling asleep, and he thinks he hears Eli calling to him. Now, Samuel's sleep is a beautiful image for our psychological sleep, our spiritual state of sleep, our closeness to God, our closeness to love, our closeness to growth, our closeness to others, our lack of awareness, our lack of wisdom, our lack of insight. All of that is symbolized in Eli's sleep, because we're in this passage just as much as Eli and Samuel are. And here it comes, the spiritual perception part. Samuel begins to wonder what he's hearing, and he goes three times to Eli, each time saying, "Yes, you called me." And Eli doesn't realize what's happening until the third time, which Samuel goes to him. And it's at that point that Eli finally comes to his senses and realizes and remembers God and says to him with this beautiful instruction, "If it happens again, say, 'Here I am, Lord. I'm listening.'" You probably have heard this before, but in Latin, the word for hear and obey are the same. To hear is to truly listen, and to truly listen is to obey from the heart. This threefold sleep, awake, sleep, awake, sleep, awake, interspersed with speaking and listening, speaking and listening, and finally the response, "Here I am, Lord." This threefold pattern is such an encouragement of mercy and grace to me, with the recognition that we don't always get it the first time, and that's okay. And it also is a recognition to me that we are in successive layers or levels of awakening, or the peeling of the onion, deeper and deeper and deeper. And however you want to look at it, whether you're going deeper or whether you're going higher, it's all the same, in the sense that we can keep moving from layer to layer of understanding and perception, so that our senses are finely tuned to the Word of God, to the voice of the Lord, to the higher center, to the voice of conscience and consciousness that's always coming to us, to the presence and activity of the Holy Spirit. What we were designed to receive, that beautiful signal from the higher, deeper dimension, that we can pick up it more quickly, more deeply, more thoroughly, and become living temples of the Spirit, become living signal bearers of the Spirit. So no one graduates, is essentially the message from this journey of development. Those of you who have interacted or seen Father Thomas Keating in the last recent years know that he's still developing and growing and listening and going deeper. It's astounding. Tim and Barbara have modeled that for us, even as they enter into their mid to late 70s, listening like never before, growing like never before. And it's a beautiful inspiration for you and for me and for this community. So the question I have for myself is, what's hindering my listening? What's hindering my obeying? What's hindering my growth of spiritual perception? Perhaps each one of us has something that we're aware of that's hindering it. And that was one of the reasons why the ascetical traditions were here, to peel away that aspect of ourself that may be hindering. So for example, the remedy for gluttony was fasting. That was the remedy for peeling away that thing that might be hindering my spiritual development in one of my senses. Now keep in mind, this isn't literal. If you literally hear or think you hear God's voice, you're not hearing God's voice. Or if you literally see an angel or whatever, you're probably not seeing an angel. Trust nothing you can see, taste, touch, or literally hear. We're talking the spiritual intuition, the innerness here. It's the exception, the total exception to the rule that such a thing could ever happen to a human being, that you would literally hear or see. It's the exception. So we're not trying to create super Christians here who, you know, see God all the time and see and communicate with angels. We're really cultivating the inner capacity to hear, to see, to listen, to obey, to follow. So where is it that you're, in a sense, growing fatigued and giving into the sleep? Recently I had an elective surgery right before I started on November 1st. It was something I had wanted to have done for a while. And while I still had that good Presbyterian insurance, I took advantage of it. It's the one good thing they did for me. I went under full anesthesia. And when I came out of it, I was trying to talk to the nurse who was attending me in the recovery room. And I was saying bizarre things like, "You have the gift of kindness." And I thought I was aware, but I was not. I went to my room, the doctor came in, and I asked him several questions about my procedure. And he said, "You're not going to remember this. I'll tell you this in the morning." I said, "No, tell me now. I'll remember it." Well, the next morning, "Doctor, I don't remember anything you said. In fact, I don't remember anything from being in this room." This is a really tangible example of the successive layers of awakening. We're under this anesthesia called sleep. We think we're awake. We think we can do. We think that we can hear. We think that we can respond. We think that we can be free. And that simple example taught me that I am not in control of my faculties like I think I am. On the physical level, how much more so on the spiritual level? And this is, you know, the beautiful invitation to simply acknowledge our humanity, to in humility ask, "Lord, please forgive me, please help me, give me that second, third, fourth, seventh chance to wake up, to hear your word, to listen to you, to follow your leading, to be instructed so that I might be anointed on high to bring goodness, love, peace, joy, and all the fruit of the Spirit into the world." And I'll close with the gospel lesson, which I think is the fruition, the example of the fruition of a life that has given itself completely, you might say, to the fullness of awakeness, to the fullness of being evolved as and into Christ. What does that look like? Well, it looks like Jesus. The energy, the divine energy moving through him brings healing wherever he goes. The darkness can't stand the light, and as it were, the energies that run on people that are dark, which the Bible calls demons, the Greek word literally means energy, demonia, energy or power. That dark power, like depression or other things running on people, the light comes into contact and the darkness is banished. They're healed. It's a beautiful example of what happens around awake people. Awake people bring more of the light. Their aperture is open, and it's not their glory that's shining, it's God's light that's shining right through. And it's so attractive. The other thing that Jesus teaches us is that even the most awake of us, even the most wise ones of us, the most anointed ones, even the most mature and spiritually evolved as Christ ones, still get up early in the morning and go to a place of solitude and rest in prayer. Rising very early before dawn, he left went into solitude and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. It's a beautiful grounding that no matter how much evolution any one of us might experience, and who knows where the ceiling is, Jesus is an indication of the ceiling. But what is God doing today? Bernadette is clearly a new indication of a ceiling, of development, of evolution. Who knows what the Spirit of God is doing? The world has never seen a community like this, CCH. Who knows what God is doing? So let's stay to the low ground, stay in the silence, stay in the solitude, and make a deep wish to evolve as Christ in these successive layers of being touched by the Spirit, little by little, in each of our senses, so that we no longer see through the eyes of judgment, we see through the eyes of love. We no longer hear through the lens of preferences and annoyances, we hear through humility. We no longer move through the world in our bodies as pride and vanity and gluttony, but through a certain sense of lightness, carelessness, freedom that we belong to God. I think these are encouraging words for you and for me tonight, and I trust that God blesses them in our lives as we continue to evolve as Christ and seek to establish a baseline for understanding how we can be invited to develop our spiritual perception. Amen. May the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, the peace and presence and action of the Holy Spirit attend to your senses tonight, tomorrow, and the week until we meet again. Amen.